Well, good evening. It's good to be here. Yeah, I got to thinking about this meeting. You know, it's just going to be a three-day meeting, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Very brief and be over. But you know what? God reminded me that it's like life. You know, our life, well, you know, it's all finished. And, you know, talking about this young man being 18, I was 18 once, believe it or not. I know it looks like I was, but I was 18 one time, a long time ago. Get this thing stuck on here somewhere. I don't know why. Someone that invent one that just goes on by itself. So hold on just 1 minute and I'll have it on a belt loop or something. There we go. Good. Good. Praise the Lord. I was 18 and then I woke up one day and I was married. I thought, how did that happen? And then we had a family and I turned around two or three times and, my kids were growing. And then I slept another time or two and I was 72 years old. And that's how fast it goes, folks. And this meeting, actually, before we blink an eye, hardly, it's going to be gone. But you know, I thank God for the meeting. You guys have plenty of preachers here, plenty of good preachers here. Didn't need to have Joe West come, but the preacher invited me. Brother Kincaid invited me, and you know what we did 12 years ago when we went into full time evangelism. I just said, God, I'm not going to call anybody for meetings. I'm not going to. Try to push myself or promote anything. But, Lord, whatever meetings you want me to have, you just have people call me or write me or whatever. And so that's what I've done. And of course, I don't mean I take everything that people offer, but at least I realize I'm not out promoting something. And so I feel like God wanted me to be here this week. And so we'll see why. All right. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. This is my first time here since my brother's funeral. A little tough coming here. But I thank God for my brother and for his memory. I really love my brother. I really did. And, of course, he loved me, and we had sweet times together. We were moving back to San Antonio. One of the reasons being the fact that, of course, Dale's passed away and Nelda's moved back. We had some time up there when they were not on the mission field and we weren't on the road. We had some time together, but now they're gone. And it's just kind of like a big gap up there. So we felt like, well, we need to move back. I feel like it's probably better to move when we can move ourselves instead of waiting for our kids to have to come with wheelchairs and move us back here. And so we're moving while we can do it on our own steam and what have you. You know, one of my favorite gospel tracts, you've been passing out tracts this week and God uses the written word. I thank God for it. In fact, you know, let me encourage you with this. I'm noticing that more and more here in the last, probably a year, maybe 2 years, that people are accepting tracts more here in America, and people are reading tracts. I know there came a time when, you know, it just really seemed like it was a waste of time. You'd give people the tract, and they'd either just crumble it up and stick it in their pocket or throw it down or what have you. But I'm seeing now more people that, you know, receive tracts and actually just open them up and begin to read them. And one of my favorite tracts over the years has been God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It's hard to beat that track. And I want to say tonight, I believe that God's plan of salvation is simple. And yet it's not cheap. It is simple, but it's not cheap. Have really missed the mark about this matter of salvation. They consider it to be, almost as nothing. And like it's just something they can just kind of pick up when they want to. And there's no requirements. There's nothing involved. It just kind of, you know, somehow accept Jesus and you're in, what have you. You know, the old timers used to talk about what they called a sound conversion. A sound conversion. That's a thorough conversion. A lot of folks, that profess to know the Lord, and no doubt some even in this congregation, they know about the Lord, but knowing about the Lord and knowing the Lord are two different things. And I want to read here in the book of Isaiah chapter 6 with you. And I want you to see what the Bible says about God and His holiness, who God is. I really resent the cheapening of the gospel, as it were. Like I say, it's simple and it's free and I believe in the grace of God as much as anyone could believe in that. But somehow I don't believe it ought to be cheapened as it has been cheapened and made to be, as many have made it. I don't know how to put it into words. But let me just read with you here in Isaiah chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, God is a three times holy God. He's holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
He's holy. And they didn't cry out and say nice, 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 or good, good, good. They said holy, holy, holy. God Almighty is holy. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me, he said. In the presence of God, woe is me. I am undone. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now let me ask you something tonight. Don't answer this out loud, but just to yourself. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead?
Amen.
Literally. Do you believe that the Bible is the very Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe that Christ is coming again one day?
Amen.
So does the devil.
Right.
So does the devil. He believes all of that and more.
Right.
You know, I believe with all my heart tonight that a lot of people have been deceived. A lot of people in San Antonio have been deceived. A lot of people in churches here have been deceived. And you may have been deceived. You may be the most sincere member of this church, but you may have been deceived. You know, I'm thankful that God cares about sinners and wants them to be saved. And He wants those who have been deceived, really, He wants to open their eyes and help them to see the truth so that they might, if they're not saved, they might get saved. I have just four or five things to say tonight. First of all, I want to say this, that many, many people tonight in our churches feel that all is right and all is well between them and God because they've been deceived about God's character. They've been misled about God's character. Again, I noticed that the angels didn't say about God that He's good, 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 but they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is, God is holy, and those about Him are holy, and those who one day will be with Him will have to be holy. I notice this, that those that are in God's presence were all arrayed in white raiment, which speaks of purity. I notice that God's throne is a white throne, not multicolored. Amen. A white throne. Amen. By that, you understand what I mean by it? It's purity, holiness. I notice that in heaven there's a river. The Bible says it's pure. It's pure, it's crystal. And then the Bible says that outside of heaven are the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars and murderers and what have you. Outside is where those folks are. But inside, everything is pure and holy. Amen. You see, a lot of people have come to look upon God, I mean, in their mind, they've looked upon God as some kind of a indulgent, like a grandpa that they can manipulate and, you know, it's no big deal. You know, and Grandpa just loves everything, loves everybody. Y'all all come on in, you know, just whatever. But, you know, heaven's not going to be that way. In fact, the Bible says straight is the gate.
Right.
Straight is the gate and narrow is the way.
Right.
Amen. And those, amen, they're few that find it.
Right.
You don't stumble into the gate. You don't stumble into that narrow way. And I'm saying that I believe a lot of folks have been deceived. You know, for a preacher to deceive folks about their salvation and give them some sort of a hocus pocus and make them think they're saved and all along knowing they were not saved. To me, that would be one of the greatest of all crimes against a man. And yet there are those that do that. You know, and we're coming more and more, by the way, folks. And I'll just tell you, if you're have been here a long time in this church, you need to thank God for that. I tell you, a lot of churches have become more and more to be people pleasers.
Yeah, right.
You know, just, you know, get it before the congregation and bring something to make everybody feel good, huh? And spray a little, you know, religious perfume around and blow a few kisses and, you know, God bless you. You know, God loves everybody. God, you know, whatever. Everything's fine. You can do anything you want to, live any way you want to, and everything's, you know, fine. But I want to tell you what, God is not an indulgent grandfather. God is a holy God. And, you know, this word intolerance is politically incorrect today. But I want to tell you what, God Almighty is intolerant. God's intolerant. Anything doesn't go with God. God has some definite requirements. Amen? Amen? And I'm just saying, you know, God said here in Psalms 50 and verse 21, speaking to people, amen, he said, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee." "And set them in order before thine eyes." He said, "I'm not like you. I mean, you think you have brought me down and I'm like you? I'm not like you. I'm God. I'm God Almighty. And I'm a holy God. And those that will one day stand in my presence must be holy."
Amen.
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 You may get in the church under any kind of, whatever, but you can't get into God's heaven. The second thing I want to see tonight is this, that I believe many people feel that all is well between them and God because they're not conscious of their actual condition. What is our actual condition tonight? What is your actual condition? The Bible says in Psalms 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We came in this world as sinners. We were sinners by birth. No one's ever had to teach their children to sin. In fact, you teach them everything you can in the right way, and they still sin. Amen? We were shaped in iniquity and sin did our mother conceive us. And, they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That little baby, you know, God bless them, you know, that looks so sweet and so cuddly, and yet lay there in that crib and lie. They'll lie to you. They'll scream bloody murder like they're dying. And you go in there and pick them up and they're just as fine as can be. They're lying to you. Amen. They're liars. They come forth from the womb speaking lies. They really do. Amen. And that's that sinful nature. Amen. I'm saying that many people feel that everything's all right between them and God because they don't really realize what their real condition is, how they came in this world. A lot of people feel like that they came in the world pretty good and they're just getting gooder all the time. And the more they go to church and the more they do religious things, they're getting better and better and better. But the truth is we came in this world sinful and wicked, estranged from God. Amen. And we're getting worse and worse. By nature, we become not only sinners by birth, but we become sinners by choosing to sin, make a choice of sin. And then, of course, if we go along long enough and without being converted, brother, we become sinners. Amen. We become molded into sin. I'm saying tonight that many people have been deceived about their actual condition between them and God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, and I know many of you have heard these verses, but you need to hear them and make it personal now to you. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Right.
There is none to understand it. There is none that seeketh after God. Huh? We didn't come to this world seeking after God. No man ever sought after God. God is a seeker. God sought us out. And we need somehow to understand. You know, here's something struck me as I was really praying about this message. As I was reading the book of Exodus, and I was reading about the tabernacle, and God was giving Moses instruction about the tabernacle. And you know, God gives Moses exact requirements for everything he put in that tabernacle. I mean, exact sizes. He didn't say just build a table and use it for the table showbread. You know, build a tabernacle, and you know, some good size, whatever. He gave him exact proportions, dimensions of everything. I mean to the inch. Yet some folks think they're just going to just waltz into heaven. Amen. Brother, if God was that concerned about an earthly tabernacle, a place where His presence was going to dwell, but an earthly tabernacle coming into His presence, brother, what must it be like in the real heaven? Amen. What must God's requirements be? Amen. And I'm saying, brother, that we, you know, the exact weight of the candlesticks was given in the scripture, the exact size of the table of showbread, the exact size of the altar of incense and what have you. You know, in Matthew, we read about, five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. And these five foolish virgins, amen, They met every requirement that could be expected of them except one. You see, you may meet all the requirements to go to heaven except one. But that one kept those five foolish virgins out. The door was shut. They were left out. The bridegroom came and left, and they were left. Folks, I really believe with all my heart that in our churches today that there are dozens and dozens, and in some places hundreds of unconverted church members. Pew warmers. Pew sitters. Amen?
Amen.
I believe it's so important, brother, we have a sound conversion.
Amen.
That we're double dog sure that we're going to heaven. Well, I wouldn't want to guess on that. I wouldn't want to hope on that. Amen. I wouldn't want to trust, and think, well, maybe it'll work out. Folks, you need to be sure.
Amen.
And the Bible makes it clear that we need somehow to make sure of our salvation. You need to make sure tonight. May I say in the third place that I believe that many people in our churches tonight feel that all is well between them and God because they are unaware of what God's demands really are. What are God's demands? Well, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you repent. You see, this matter of just calling on Jesus, just saying some in a prayer. Amen. The Bible, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Right.
Repentance is a work of God in our heart whereby we feel sorrow for our sins against God. And we want to turn away from that. We don't want that anymore.
Right.
We want something different. We can't make ourselves different, but we want something different. We repent. We turn from this life we've been living, and we turn to God and ask Him for His help. We repent of our sins. We have a godly sorrow for our sins.
Amen.
So many treat that matter of coming to God so lightly. Oh, God, you understand. You know, I've done this, I've done that, and I'll probably still do some of that. But, you know,
yes.
Just put my name down and sign me up. God doesn't do it that way. Repentance is not only a godly sorrow for our sin, but it's breaking away from that sin. It causes that breaking from that old lifestyle. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he then is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Well, I'm going to be right one of these days. You better be right now. Amen. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about being sinless, but I'm saying this, brother, this whole idea of just getting your name on the church roll and think that's going to let you sail right into heaven is a sad mistake.
Right.
You're going to wake up one day and get to the gates and find that they're closed. Like the people in Noah's day, brother, when the rains began to come and they went to the ark and the door was shut. God shut the door.
That's right.
And by the way, let me tell you this tonight, friend, I say this sincerely from my heart of love. God can get along without you. God's heaven will not miss you. God will not be up there sobbing and crying and say, oh my, old John, he didn't get in. God loves this world and proved it by sending His Son Jesus. But brother, once that door is shut, that's all over. Amen. And I'm saying tonight that many people have got this idea that well, God doesn't, you know, God be happy to have me. I guess, you know, get in, whatever. Peter said to those Jews that day on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, they cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? They were convicted. And Peter said, repent. That's what you must do. Got to repent. Amen. Turn away from your sinful life. Turn to Christ. God speaks about the church there at Thyatira. God says that He gave her space to repent, but she wouldn't repent. God's given us space to repent tonight. Some of you have come to church and you've heard preaching and God's Spirit's dealt with you. Listen, God's given you space to repent. You need to repent.
Right, amen.
Old Simon the sorcerer who tried to buy the ability to lay hands and impart the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, you don't have any part a lot in this whole matter. And he said, you need to repent of what your thoughts are. Repent of that. Repent of your wicked thoughts. Break away from that. Turn away from that. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. God has been so good to you, has He not?
Amen.
God's goodness.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that God lets you wake up in the morning,
right.
Amen, and have a mind to think with, and that you can function. You get up, and even though sometimes not as quick as you did one day, but you get up. Amen?
Amen.
And I know whereof I speak about that. Amen. You know, this old body is wearing out, folks. And it's not, there's all kinds of stuff that folks want to sell you to lengthen your life and make you where you can live forever down here. But you're not going to live forever down here, folks.
Right.
This old body, God designed it to wear out. I mean, if you could stay healthy and vibrant and all that, many of you wouldn't want to go to heaven. But this old body wears out, begins to fall apart. Old Stu Hammond wrote that song, This Old House. Amen. And talked about that old house, somebody's his body that's crumbling, falling apart. Well, it's doing it, but God's still good to us. Amen.
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Good to us day by day. Shows us so many means of His goodness to us, and His goodness is designed to lead us to repentance. To say, God is so good to me. Why have I not repented and turned to Him and received Him into my life and served Him? Amen. God demands repentance. And then may I say in the next place that, many people feel that everything's all right between them and God because they've really been lied to about God's way of salvation. I heard a preacher, a pastor of a large church say recently to his congregation, if you feel like maybe you're not saved, just pray this prayer. Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. You know what that'll accomplish? Absolutely nothing. God doesn't save people who are not sure whether they're not saved. God saves sinners.
Amen.
That know they're sinners, that are willing to repent of their sin and turn to God. That's who God saves. And this idea of praying, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me now, just leads to confusion.
That's right.
Week after next, you'll be praying the same prayer again.
Right.
Amen. And throughout your life, God, if I'm not saved, every time you feel a little something, you'll pray, if I'm not saved, save me now. God doesn't save us again and again. God just saves us one time.
Amen.
One time, it does a good job.
Amen.
Good, thorough job. Amen.
Yep.
But many think that everything's all right between them and God because they've been lied to about God's way of salvation. You know, I was in a farm and ranch store some time ago to buy something, and a fellow was standing there, and he was using God's name in vain over and over and every other kind of profanity. And when he finally slowed down, I stepped up to him and I said, sir, and I gave him a gospel tract and I said, I just want to ask you, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And he said to me, oh, I bet you have never met anyone that loves God as much as I love God. Honest truth. He said, you've never met anybody that loves God like I love God. I said, well, your language didn't sound like it to me. Oh, he said, whatever. But, it's amazing. This man has been lied to. He thinks that he can live like he's living and live a wicked life. And I understand we're saved by grace, folks. So please don't go away and say tonight that Joe West said we're saved by works. But I want to tell you what, brother, a true born again child of God doesn't live that way, live his life out that way. I tell you, we've really cheapened. I mean, many folks have cheapened this matter of salvation. And anybody, almost anybody, just is all right, as long as they just, say the right words. Yeah, you're all right. You're all right, sure. But I want to tell you what many folks have been lied to about God's way of salvation. God says and makes it very clear. And all this is so plain, so clear, and so obvious. And yet many folks miss it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is, here's God's demand. God says you must be born another time. I mean, salvation is not just shaking a hand or signing up on a card or getting your name on a church roll. Salvation is being birthed into the family of God.
Right.
We got a young lady here tonight. Is she gone to the hospital already? She's going to have a baby. Huh? She's not going to have to shake the doctor's hand. She's going to have a baby. Amen?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's a birth. I mean, that little child, in some period of time from now, a few hours, hopefully, maybe not longer than that. I mean, that child will be birthed, will be smacked on the backside and cry, you know, and get his breath and begin to breathe. And, you know, he's alive. He's birthed. Amen. And Jesus said that you and I must have a spiritual birth just like that.
Amen.
You must be born again. Not again and again, but again.
Amen.
One time. But I tell you, you need to be sure that you've been born again. You know, Paul said this and wrote this. He said, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith.
Amen.
Now, if it wasn't possible to be deceived, why would he write that? If he hadn't seen probably hundreds of people deceived and thinking they were all right when they were not all right, he wouldn't have written that. But he wrote that, said, examine yourself. And by the way, that's what has got to be done. I'm not to examine you, and you're not to examine me. Examine yourself. God said, you look at yourself. You examine yourself through the optics of the Bible. Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. You may be in the church, but they don't get it. God's not coming for the church role. He's coming for the born again ones. Jesus said, you must be born again. I'm saying that, I heard a lady, this had been a couple of years ago, I guess you may have heard this on the 10 o'clock news. This lady was talking about how these burglars broke into her house, and the newsman was telling about how that, in fact, it was in the paper the next morning, how that she had cussed them and call them all kinds of names. And finally, you know, really, she really cussed them out of her house. They just got so blistered by her words that they left. And they were asking her, well, you know, how was you able to do all that? Oh, she said, I just knew that God was with me. Yeah, I knew God was with me. Well, some God was with her, but not the God of the Bible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. You know, we can commit a sin as a child of God, but we don't live a life of sin. We don't pursue sin. We don't make it a way of life. I have a way of life that I've been in since 1955, some 48 years, that is towards Christ, towards God's way, trying to live for Him. And I may have a little blip here, and once in a while a little blip, you know, but my path is this way. I may hit a speed bump, but my path is this way. I'm not going like this. Dee-dee-da-da-da-dee-da. I'm going right down that line. Do I like to sin? No, I hate sin. I hate sin in my life. When I sin, I went out yesterday to buy some. We're remodeling a house here. By the way, I have a perfect way, a weight loss way. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you start working on a house and work till 7 o'clock at night for 12 hours straight and do it for about 6 or 8 weeks and you will lose weight. I assure you that. Amen. But I went out to buy some material yesterday at a lumber yard, and I stepped up there and I had my little card down of what material I need to order, and I said, I need 10 2x6s, 12 feet long. And she said, 15 feet long. I said, no ma'am, I need 10 2x6s, 16 feet long. That's what I told her, I think. Is that what I told you? Amen. Anyway, she said 15. She said 15 feet. I sound confused now. Maybe I confused her. And so she finally, I guess, put that down. Supposed to put that down. I said, then I need 10 2x6s, 12 feet long. And she said, 15 feet long? I said, no, ma'am, 12 feet long. And she said, okay, you need 10 2x6s, 15 feet long? No, ma'am. I said, let's start all over again. And we went through it again. Anyway, and I got a little sharp with that girl. And when I left that place, I thought, boy, I was convicted. I thought, I didn't say any bad word to her. I didn't fuss at her, but I'm just a little sharp in my language. And I felt convicted. I ought to have felt convicted.
Amen.
I mean, I thought, you know, I don't know that I could give her a track after that.
Amen.
And again, my response, whatever. And, just everything I tried to order, she just, you know, just couldn't seem to get it, you know. And you want to say, is there someone here that could maybe take an order? You know, I mean, I could just give it to them. I wanted some other stuff, and I, you know, called out what they're called, and she said, "What is that?" Well, anyway, you may veer a little bit like that, but I promise you this: The Bible says that if you're born of God, you don't sin as a way of habit. You don't live a life of sin. You don't pursue that life. You don't live that way. If you live in that way, it just simply says you haven't been born of God.
That's right.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Did you know I look around our churches and I see folks that really are overcome by the world. And seem like in every area. I mean, the world is directing them. They're not directing the world. I mean, overcoming the world means this, that you don't fit into the world and not into its priorities, not into its lifestyle, not into any of that stuff. You don't fit into that. You don't need to. Someone said, well, you're not in style. Who cares?
Amen.
Who made the styles? Amen.
That's right.
I mean, I'm modest. Amen. I'm bathed. Amen. I'm clean. Amen. I have on clean socks. Amen. Clean all the way up. Underwear and all the rest of it. Amen. I don't have to fit into any kind of style. The world sets up standards and they want you to do this and, you know, cross every T and dot every I like that. But hey, he that's born of God overcomes the world. Amen. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, born of God. Some of you have been born of the church. You've been born of a friend. You've been born of religion. You've been born of a fairy tale. But you need to be born of God. You must be born of God. You must be born again and born of God. I mean, there's no one here. No one here or no collection of someone's here that can birth you or save you or forgive you. But there is one who can save you. And who can birth you and who can forgive you? God Almighty.
Amen.
Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, if you will. The Bible says that He, God, has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us. That's how you and I become holy. It's a matter of having His holiness put to our account. For He, God, has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, I'm holy tonight because of Him who is holy. Someone said, you're a holy roller? Well, yeah, I guess I am. I'm holy. You a holy Joe? Yeah, I guess I am.
Amen.
How is it tonight, honestly, between you and God? Are you so sure tonight that you're willing to stake your eternity on it? If not, you need to make sure. I mean, I would not leave this service tonight without making sure if I had some doubts. And I'm not interested in planting doubts in a believing heart. But I'll tell you what, I really would like to help folks that have not settled the matter. I'm talking about nailed it down with God. I'd like to see them come and get saved, truly born again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Even the angels covered their eyes, covered their face, covered themselves up at God's presence. And yet we think we can walk in any kind of condition before God, and it's all right. Brother, we're going to have to go into God's presence as a holy person. With the holiness of Jesus given to us, put to our account. I praise the Lord. Some 48 years ago, Jesus put His holiness to my account. He crossed out my old wicked life and He put His life on my column and made me what He is. Amen. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. Does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. Amen. We shall see Him as He is. Amen. The Lord's coming, folks. I want to tell you what, the Lord's coming. I believe so. It would not surprise me that we couldn't even have the 3-day meeting. Honestly. And I say this from my heart. I tell you what, I mean, there was a time when, you know, when you felt like, well, you know, the Lord's coming. But you felt like it was maybe many, many years off. I don't feel that way anymore. I believe it's down to days and weeks, maybe months. The Lord's coming. And I'm glad He's coming.
Amen.
But you need to be ready for His coming. And if you're not ready, you need to get ready. Church member, non-church member, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about church membership tonight. We're not talking about some denomination. We're talking about is the only hope that they have in His death on the cross and the shedding of His blood. I pray tonight that they might come tonight to receive Him, repent of their sins, and become a child of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. I'd like to invite you to come tonight. The altars are open, and there'll be someone here to pray with you if you need to come and ask Jesus to save you. Does someone want to play maybe an invitation song for us? Would you do that, Miss Verlene? And I invite you to come tonight, if you will. The way we'll do it while I'm here, at least, is you just step out of your seat, wherever you may be. Come down here at the front, and there'll be someone here to take an open Bible and show you out of God's Word, if you still have any question about it, how you can be saved and know it. Will you do it right now? We're going to sing Just As I Am. I think you know that song. Brother Brian, would you come lead us maybe in that song? You, all right? Just lead us out with that.